I'm Christy.
And I'm Kathy.
And this is The Psychic
and the Skeptic. Welcome back to The Psychic and the Skeptic. And on this episode, we are going to talk about time slips.
Very interesting topic, by the way.
Yes, I'm excited about this one. We have some
cool
pictures to talk about, which I know this is a podcast, so we're going to have to be real creative with how we describe these pictures, but some of you may have seen them.
So they're not our photos, which means Kathy
is going to debunk
any crap and debunk them. Exactly.
No.
Well, she might debunk them.
This also overlaps with another concept of time travel. So I know what you skeptics are thinking. Your eyes are all way in the back of your head. So put them forward again.
Hey, they might be sci-fi nerds, and then they're not rolling
their
eyes.
Watch where you're going if you're driving, so don't roll them too hard. But first, this is our first episode after Thanksgiving.
Gobble.
We hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving break and had some good family time.
Have you got your Christmas shopping done? Because it's like, what, 3 weeks away now?
Oh, don't even tell me now.
I know, girl. I start shopping for Christmas in July, June or July, just so I don't have to be so broke the month of Christmas.
But see, when I do that, then I forget what I got somebody and I might get it twice.
Okay, so I did that last year. You know what I did? I bought my son a new Xbox controller and it's the Elite one. So it's a high dollar one. So my son, he was 13 at the time, getting ready to turn 14. So I have to hide stuff really good. Well, I hid it and I thought I was missing a gift to bring out. And then here about 2 months ago, I found it hidden in my closet and I was like, oh yeah.
Oh no.
That was supposed to be a Christmas gift for him. Crap.
Wait for the last minute.
Exactly. Exactly.
Last minute sales.
Moral of the story, don't hide stuff so good that you forget where you hid it and you can't find it.
Well, I don't really have that problem. I hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving, enjoyed some good family time and some good food. Also, I hope you enjoyed our bonus episode, Kendall's Revisited.
Yeah.
So let us know what you thought.
And hopefully you didn't gain 10 pounds over the holiday.
Yeah. So we're going to dive into time slips. Let me explain that one for you. A time slip is an alleged phenomenon in which a person or group of people suddenly and briefly experience a shift in time, appearing to move to another period in time. Usually this is back in time. And then they return to the present. So this is something that happens pretty quickly, and you're right back to where you were. These events are reported to be spontaneous, out of nowhere, often without any kind of machinery or invention of some sort like time travel, because that would differentiate the two. So this is without purpose, just out of nowhere, just suddenly happens. And they're typically described as very vivid and a sensory experience. So all of your senses are involved.
Mine was very vivid, for sure.
And some also note missing time, or there's discrepancies in the physical surroundings. So either time continued in your present day, or there is a discrepancy in how long you were in this other time period and whether you came right back where you left off.
And there's an interesting thing. Time. It talks about time. And we have previously discussed how that time is man-made, and time on our side is not the same as time on the other side. So that's interesting.
Side, like when we talked about
not
astral projection
realm,
and we're talking about different realms or different levels of heaven, so to speak.
Yes, correct.
There are some paranormal theories associated with time slips. So according to the paranormal theory, time slips are viewed as spontaneous, natural occurrences of time displacement, where time boundaries can briefly overlap. So that's what's happening when someone's experiencing this. They're seeing that overlap. So it's thought to occur when past, present, and future coexist simultaneously. So this is a concept sometimes called layered time or veil thinning theory.
I was just fixing to ask, I wonder if that has something to do with the veil. They say every Halloween, the veil thins.
Right. And we talked about that with astral projection. So very similar concept. So some suggest that in rare conditions, such as high electromagnetic activity or high emotional intensity or geomagnetic fluctuation, a person's consciousness or physical self can momentarily tune into another time layer and therefore witness scenes imprinted in that environment. So very similar to a residual type energy. There are some explanations, according to paranormal theory, that draw from this multiverse theory, which suggests that our universe is one of an infinite parallel reality. So there's many of them, so much like the different planes we've talked about. So a time slip then results from a temporary cross-section between these universes or these realms, or a bleed-through event occurs, allowing observation and sometimes interaction between these parallel timelines.
They also say that on these different realms, that everyone has their own doppelganger, like their twin, right? And if you go to that realm, it's like a time travel in a sense, because you're not supposed to run into your twin in that, like you can't exist in the same time and space on the same realm.
Similar to the parallel universe thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you exist in more than one
existence,
I guess, or realm.
And if you enter a realm where you already are, then that can cause your physical death. I just thought it was interesting.
So more on the imprinted environment, there's a connection or a thought that there's a connection of time slips with hauntings, claiming that it's not ghosts, but residual energy imprinted on the environment, showing a past reality replaying within that same physical space.
I could see that.
So I know we've experienced paranormal activity like that, mm-hmm. a location, but one of the senses, not all of them. So we might hear residual sounds like footsteps in a hallway. We may feel and hear those footsteps at the same time.
Even
one of my favorite paranormal experiences.
Like odd sounds.
Yes.
So maybe
auditory.
Yeah. Like
tactile.
A ship's horn off in the distance every so often that's supposed to occur.
But this time slip from this connection to a haunting, which really residual isn't an actual haunting, it's imprinted energy in the environment. But when you put it together with this time slip theory, this is where all of your senses are present. So to me, it almost overlaps with a psychic experience, because if you're visualizing and seeing and hearing and feeling, that's very similar to what you might experience with your gifts.
Right. No, exactly. And from the spiritual end or the metaphysical, definitely this side agrees with that paranormal theory that there is some sort of vibrational overlap between that. So we do believe, and it's again with frequency levels, right? When these frequency levels align, the psychic or sensitive can actually tune in to different eras. Now, I don't know how much of that I fully believe, but I do know there's some sort of truth in it. I just can't say 100%.
So normally the experience is spontaneous and brief, but you think people can take themselves almost like time traveling in a psychic or spiritual way when the conditions are right.
I do think there's some boundaries and restrictions though, where you can't reach every place, just because there's some things that sensitive people are just not supposed to know. It's almost like crossing that boundary line and you just can't go there.
Okay. So what someone is experiencing during a time slip, just to summarize everything, the person's physical environment appears to shift into another time, like time travel. But this is very immersive and involves intense sensory details, sights, sounds, smells. Usually it's not intentional. This happens just out of nowhere, spontaneous. The person just stumbles into the event without any warning. It typically is brief, so it lasts from a few seconds to even a couple of minutes before the person returns to the original time.
So I guess this would be like, you can teach yourself to lucid dream, but you can't teach yourself How to time
this
slip.
This time slip. Hmm. And I think that's why they call it a slip. It's like you slip into it and you slip right back out. So it's a real brief moment, just a few seconds most of the time.
That makes sense.
You just happen to be caught up in this wrinkle in the time and space continuum. Those are just some of the ways that it's explained. This is different than maybe what somebody might think of a psychic vision, because one is time travel, but this is a psychic vision is something different. How would you explain the two?
A psychic vision is something that you see. And a lot of times, just like a time slip, maybe in some ways, it can happen very quickly. But you see things like a movie coming together, like clips of a movie, or you might see one single thing, but yet your environment doesn't change.
So it's more visual or sensory,
yes,
versus tactile, auditory, and spatial.
Yes and no. I have experienced all of those while I was having a psychic vision.
Okay.
But I know that it's a vision, if that makes sense. And I know that my body didn't just slip into some realm somewhere.
So with your experience, this usually involves communication from spirit, right?
Yes. And that is another big difference. And I'm glad you brought that up, because you do not have the spirit communication through a time slip. But with a psychic vision, you normally do, not always, but you normally do, because spirits can show you things. They can show you places, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, that is the big difference between that time slip and that psychic vision.
Yeah, because when you describe, or you're picking up on spirit when we're investigating in a paranormal location, you often describe things like, I see this car and somebody's inside it and they're having an argument, and yeah, all of a sudden I feel this heavy feeling in my chest. So these are all like visions, but it's what spirit is trying to show you that happened to them. So they're taking you back in time to the moment of their death, so you can either empathize or understand, mm-hmm, what they went through.
Yeah, and not just taking them back at the time of their death, but they can also take you through periods of their life. And again, it's like watching a movie in a sense. You see a clip here and a clip here and a clip here, and you put them all together and you've got one full movie.
I've heard some psychics describe the vision as being symbolic sometimes. Psychic visions that aren't necessarily like a time slip, meaning they show you something from your own memory that triggers something in their experience.
And I think that could be because they're trying to relate.
Right.
The spirit is trying to relate with that psychic. So that way, and again, remember, it's all about those frequency waves and the levels that those spirits are on. So it's like a way of identifying, a way of being like, hey, this is true. This is really the real deal.
So how would you explain the nature of that experience in a psychic vision? How do you know the difference? How do you know if you're in a time slip or just experiencing a psychic vision?
Because again, like I was saying, it's more of that internal knowing, that intuition. And when you see something, it's like that movie playing in your head. It's more of like a perception that you're right, given, rather than you taking a physical journey somewhere, like your body going somewhere.
In a time slip, it's usually, it just happens. It's spontaneous. You don't intend for it to happen. But do you have control over these visions? Can they be intentional psychic visions? Can you control whether you have one or not? Or is it usually just sprung upon you?
Usually sprung upon me. And I think that's why sometimes people get them confused with the time slips. And you've seen me on investigations. Whenever I get something, I might say, I just got this little quick flash of this or quick flash of that. If it is a time slip or if it's basically a psychic vision.
Right.
And here in a bit, I'll give an example of both that I've had in my experience.
A time slip is going to be that overlap in your different realms, but what you're experiencing in a psychic vision has a different origin, right? So it's coming from that communication or clairvoyance,
ESP, clairaudient,
extrasensory perception. Do you have an example, or do you have your own personal experience? I know you've had plenty of psychic visions, but have you ever had a time slip experience?
I do believe I have, yes.
Okay, so give me an example of each so we know the difference.
Okay, for example, my time slip experience. I was in Guthrie, Oklahoma. You were there, actually. We were on the street that has the Pollard Theater, and I can't remember the name of that street, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's historic downtown Guthrie. Yes. Old saloons around and shops.
Old red brick buildings.
Yeah, we were
buildings.
Going to lunch, right?
I think so, yeah.
We were going out, or we were going to eat dinner before an investigation out there or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I had done is I was waiting on, I don't know, someone to get out of the car or get something or whatever. And I happened to just look, and I suddenly seen this whole street transform. I saw people walking back and forth in front of these storefronts, and the ladies had these umbrellas to keep the sun off of them.
Huh? The parasols?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I just call them umbrellas, but yes, that's the proper term. But it was just like I had switched and I was in this different place in this different time. Like the clothing was different. The women had those long dresses that went all the way down to the ground,
so
and
like
the long
period
sleeves.
Clothing.
And
what do you think, late 1800s?
I would say late 1800s, early 1900s, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe the early years of Guthrie, before statehood, maybe?
Yeah.
So this was after you'd already gone into the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, because you came in a little later that evening.
Right.
So it's just like slipping into a different time period for a short period of time.
And had you ever experienced anything like that before?
Yes, I have. I had another residence where I was in the backyard of this home, and suddenly I saw that it was daylight, and right in front of me was a whole line of Native American warriors. And without getting into too much detail about that case, it just seemed so real. And the night, again, like I said, changed today. The warriors were there, and I was expecting an attack. And then it was done.
Came right back. I wonder if that was more communication, if you were there for an investigation, and if there was spirit trying to you have a psychic vision.
Yeah, we were there for an investigation, but I wasn't in direct communication with any spirit at the time.
Okay.
I was just outside kind of walking the grounds.
Wow.
There's a good example of the time that I had this psychic vision, and it could be somewhat, I don't know, mistaken for a time slip, but it was for that Nakoma Park investigation that I did way back in the early 2000s. I saw this guy named Mark stick his head out around the corner, and I was like, we need to go to the bedroom. So we went from the kitchen to the bedroom, and not too long after doing that, I was in communication with Mark. I was learning about his life, what happened to him, etc. And I suddenly saw the whole room spin a full, like it spun.
It goes spinning again.
Two or three times. Yeah. It spun two or three times around. Then it was suddenly daytime. The windows were open. I could see the breeze coming in with the windows flapping. I felt the heat and the humidity from outside, and I knew the date was August of 1977. Don't ask me how I knew that, but I just knew that. I believe that Mark gave me a vision of what happened to him, and when he first entered that room, what it looked like, what it felt like, what it smelt like, because I experienced all that firsthand. So again, with the people in Guthrie, I wasn't in communication with anybody. When I saw the line of the Native American warriors, I wasn't communicating with anybody. So this is how I would say the differences are and how one can tell them apart.
Yeah, so one's communication and the other is simply slipping in and out of a different time period.
Yeah, and it usually happens so quick, I don't think you can really even put a duration of time on there. Ancient cultures, they spoke about behaving differently in the spiritual or in some sort of enchanted place. It's also in Celtic folklore. When we look at fairy mounds, it's in Japanese legends, like the Urashima, 8th century. It describes a fisherman. He visited an undersea palace for what felt like days, only to return, and centuries had gone by. So it's even in Hindu texts with different stories. So it's been around for a very long time. Now, has it always been known as time slips? Probably not, but it's been here way,
wow.
way
I feel long. Like everything seems to go back to ancient times. right? All of these portals or this travel and movement and realms.
I also did find the most famous of these time slip cases. It started in 1901, and it was called the, this is a French word, I'm going to butcher it, Versailles. See, I told you.
Petit Trianon in Versailles.
Yes. The Versailles time slip. So you have these two ladies, and they were visiting the gardens of Versailles. And the two women reported suddenly finding themselves in what appeared to be the 18th century. They described seeing people in that period clothing. And one woman even resembled Marie Antoinette. If anybody knows their French history, even though I can't speak it, I know a little bit. Marie Antoinette was the queen of France at one point.
And I actually visited Versailles this summer.
Really?
And those gardens are huge. And it's like a maze and a labyrinth out there. And she actually had a house off the palace. She had a separate house.
Oh, so aside. Her house is still standing to this day?
Oh, yeah. The whole palace is all still there, but these gardens are just immense.
Wow. So I wonder if she just loved flowers.
Lots of people around, too. The skeptic in me wonders if there were people still dressed. This is 1901. What kind of style did they still have? Were they just confusing?
Old-fashioned.
Somebody from the 18th century, or what do you call it? They said 18th century.
Mixing up the 18th and 19th, or what is it?
So if
the,
this is 19th 1901, and 20th. Yeah. We're talking about the 1700s. So yeah, I guess Marie Antoinette had very different styling in clothing.
Oh, yes.
She's obviously very recognizable. There's artwork all over the palace.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody in the grounds as looking like somebody from the 1700s. I wonder if they had people in dress-up period clothing reenacting or anything like that going on.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You know what? I actually watched like a little documentary on this. That was one of the theories, that maybe it was someone else that was dressed up for that time period. I don't know. Still, right. It is documented in history, this happening, or these two women coming forward.
Significant enough for somebody to write it down. Yeah,
for sure. Then in 1935, you've got the Airfield time slip. This is actually in Liverpool, England. So while flying over a disused airfield, a man named Goddard saw it fully operational with aircraft painted in an unfamiliar yellow, and mechanics there working on the planes. They were in blue overalls. And there was this configuration that didn't yet exist. So 4 years later, the Airfield was reopened, and it had those exact same colors, the same blue uniforms. So another historical documented case there.
So he saw the future.
He did. In that sense. He absolutely did. And with time slips, past or present.
Future.
Or future, yeah. Then in the 1950s, we don't really know the exact year because it's disputed, but you had the man from Tokyo, Japan. I can't pronounce that city name, so I'm not going to try to butcher it. Tarred? Yeah, something. I pronounced it anyway. So you have this traveler. He allegedly arrived with a passport from this city. And at the time, it was a country that wasn't recognized by any nation. But yet his documents and stamps appeared to be very authentic. And then the man vanished from a guarded hotel room, mind you, while under investigation. So I'm wondering, did they arrest him?
Maybe it was a counterfeit document, which at that time, there were lots of documents still left over from World War II.
Could have
fraudulent
been.
And maybe he just is a good escape artist and climbed out the window. I don't know. Here's the skeptic.
No, but it makes sense. Moving right along. 1957, you had what's known as the Suffolk. See?
The Suffolk Times.
I don't know a lot of these cities. I butcher them.
This is Suffolk County in Boston.
So that's
from, you know how I am.
Yeah.
New England.
Your Yank history helping
has
you
names
out.
From the UK. Yeah.
So this was, again, UK. There's these three friends. They decided to go for a walk, and they described walking through a village that suddenly appeared. It was very silent, old-fashioned, and devoid of any sort of modern signs. Moments later, they suddenly returned to the modern day streetcars with people. So very odd there, so
that's,
too.
It's interesting because it's three people rather than one person having this hallucination, as you might explain it away to be. But to have three people, that's folie à trois.
Which means? Know,
folie à deux is like a mental experience of two people.
Okay.
Experiencing the same thing, but this is three people.
So are you calling all of these people mental? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying. It, like,
I'm kidding.
To try to explain it as some kind of psychological experience, I would think it'd be rare.
Isolated, yeah.
Completely, unless the three of them are in cahoots together, and that's a fraud.
And teaming up on the story.
Sure, just to get published somewhere. So that was in the late 1950s, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, actually, it was in 1957, to be exact.
But then they returned to modern day.
Yes.
And there were, there were no signs, street signs and stuff, and now they're modern day where they
street signs, stop signs. There was none of that.
So it was like going back in time.
And then in 1968, you had the Gadianton Canyon incident. This is in Utah. But there were four young women this time. I know, I saw your eyebrow go up. Okay, wait a second, there's more than one witness. So anyway, they were out driving at night and they reported seeing a strange desert structure and then old-fashioned vehicles, and they suddenly appeared on the highway miles away. Then there was some sort of missing time and distortion, and all four of these women noticed that. That kind of reminds me of if you have aliens and the aliens abduct you.
I can see that as being one of the theories just based on the area. There's lots of thought that some of these time slips could be alien abduction.
Oh, sure. There's a lot of stuff that's blamed on the aliens. But I don't know. I personally believe that we're not the only one in this galaxy.
Which?
It's just too big.
Which one is more believable? Which one takes a lot of stretch to go and believe, and which one carries more weight and believability? They're both very difficult. What's your next one?
1979, there's the Hotel of 1905 incident. This is in France, right? There's travelers that were staying overnight at a hotel, and there was no electricity, but they did have oil lamps, and there was vintage decor. So they left, and when they later returned, the hotel no longer existed. It was gone. And even nearby locals, when they were asking around, said, hey, we have no record of it even being here. So that makes me wonder if they unloaded their suitcases.
That's what I was just thinking.
I guess that all disappeared at once.
And that was in France?
Yes, that was actually in France, 1979.
I've heard a couple stories like that. I feel like there's a lot of repeats in some legend, very similar stories, just in different locations. Like, I've heard about that in the United States, where somebody checked into a hotel and it was like all these really nice people and old. They seemed like they were all into the past, and the workers all dressed like people from the past. And then they wanted to go back and stay again, and it was gone. Right. So I hear this story, this very similar story again and again. So I wonder if this is some story that keeps getting told and retold.
You mean like telephone game?
No, but not an actual true story, but just legend that just changes location.
Oh, sure, it could, It's like Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Okay. Or you can't check back in.
Right. That was their case. Yeah, they couldn't definitely check back in. Then you got to 2006. You had what's known as the Spanish couple on the highway. They were married, driving late at night. They reported entering onto a different roadway with strange signs and warnings and different vehicles as well. And all this signage and so forth was in a different and unfamiliar language. Well, after a few minutes, several minutes actually, they suddenly found themselves back on their original route, but they had several hours of missing time. So again, keyword, time, right?
Missing time again, yeah.
Yes, missing time again. So our last one on this was back from 2011. It's called the Toronto Department Store Slip. And this is actually Canada. So you have a woman, we don't have her name, but when she was entering a modern day shopping mall, she described suddenly seeing an old fashioned department store interior with attendants in 1940s clothing. When she blinked, however, the scene reverted back to modern day.
Wow. So this was a micro time slip, super quick.
Yeah.
Blink of an eye.
Yeah. And that's sometimes how, honestly, I get visions, right? They're just very quick.
Flash.
Boom, and they're gone. Or I may see a spirit that way. Quick little flash of them, but so quick you can't make out like a lot of details, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and this makes more sense from the psychological or medical viewpoint in these type of experiences.
Okay.
And we've been here before when we're talking about temporal lobe activity and spatial awareness and proprioception.
Uh-huh.
Minor little seizure-like activity. So I might have explained this in a different episode before, but not all seizures are the kind where you go unconscious and you convulse. There's many different types of seizures.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Focal seizures that occur in one side of your brain. And so this temporal lobe activity or seizure-like activity, that what's happening is there's an abnormal electrical activity in that lobe, and that can create these sensations and visions. And they can be really vivid, realistic, can give like a sensation of deja vu, and can give a sense of this time shift. So they've seen this repeated in these type of seizures, or when they've triggered these kind of seizures, the patients have expressed these type of visual hallucinations. Mm. So that is something that we can see repeated in a controlled environment.
I wonder if that can happen in your dreams, time slip.
Maybe that's what's happening with some of this astral projection, but time is not easily conceptualized when we're dreaming. Like, we can have this really long dream and we wake up and that was only a 20-minute nap. So that goes back to the other episode where we're talking about astral projection in dreams, but we're talking about while we're conscious now. So a lot of seizure activity can occur while you are conscious. So this kind of activity where it's on one side of your brain, you can remain conscious during it rather than activity that happens all across your brain.
Gotcha. So those stories that I've heard of those people that I mentioned a second ago, it's like their watch, maybe a minute behind or 2 minutes ahead or whatever. So like they just suddenly...
Yeah, and that could be just the emotions of the whole event too, that their memory can be, their recall of the events can be a little bit different when they go back and tell their story. I can look at my watch and swore it said 10:35 2 minutes ago, and now it's already 5 minutes later. So right. We all experience that from time to time when we look at our watch. We could have not really been paying attention to it, and then we look again with more intent and see something completely different than what we saw before. You can easily explain that away. Our memories are definitely flawed from time to time. But that's another explanation too, is memory reconstruction and suggestion. So under stress, fatigue, strong emotions, the brain may merge memory fragments and environmental cues, creating a convincing but false sense of another time. And I'm just using your experience as an example, your Guthrie experience.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to investigate a historic location. Mm-hmm. We're in downtown historic Guthrie. It's easy for our minds, and maybe you need an MRI on your temporal lobe because you have all these experiences. Just teasing.
Are you saying my temporal lobe is a little wacky?
You might be having mini seizures, Christy.
No, actually,
but
no.
If there's a memory involvement in all of this, maybe that's that thought and you're just feeling in the moment and your temporal lobe misfire in that moment and you experience this.
So just to say, here about a year ago, I wore this crazy cap for 3 days and I got tested to see if I had seizure activity at all. None showed up, by the way.
They didn't catch one while you were wearing it.
Oh, wow. I wore it 24/7, by the way.
You don't always have these experiences.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I have a lot of experience with seizure monitoring. We've had people in the hospital for days, and we try to induce seizures, and it can take a long time.
I'm just saying it wasn't a seizure.
No, and I'm with you on that. There's a lot we can say on the skeptical viewpoint, and sometimes even the skeptic explanation to try to debunk is quite a stretch, just as much as it is a stretch to have the experience.
So something else I wanted to mention concerning time slips is that there has also been reports of people seeing someone suddenly disappear and then reappearing. This would be the person who is experiencing the time slip that's appearing and reappearing. So they go somewhere.
They might not be in the time slip, but they're watching someone else go through a time slip. Yeah. And there's pictures all over the internet, which I can't wait to get to and talk about. We mentioned that earlier. But those are fun to debunk. But yeah, that's another viewpoint on this whole phenomenon. But that's referring to time travel in a way. And so I, as the skeptic, need to present the scientific viewpoint. And it's not possible to disprove time travel when you look at physics and how physics explain things. And without getting too complex here, because physics, yeah, it's a whole different language. It's a philosophy in its own. But physics doesn't definitively disprove time travel, but strong theoretical arguments, particularly the grandfather paradox and the second law of thermodynamics, make time travel to the past highly problematic. But mostly it's this second law of thermodynamics.
Okay.
This law creates a barrier to time traveling because it says that in order to time travel, you need to travel faster than the speed of light. So there's a barrier there with that in the sense that we don't have a way to travel faster than the speed of light. So it's deemed impossible, and the models are constrained in how we could even develop that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you could go into the future by going faster than the speed of light. The faster you move through space, the slower you move through time, and there'd be like a time dilation. But again, we don't have ways to propulse ourselves that quickly, and this would be difficult to do and imprint on in time, in a sense. You'd be really just slowing down time, or out in space, time is different than what's on the Earth. So it's a paradigm that's really difficult to wrap your brain around physiologically and technologically. We don't have that way to do that.
Yeah, we do. We have the DeLorean. As long as we keep the flux capacitor in there, we're good to go.
Right. And really, there is a way to experience time travel.
Okay, how?
You can do that by going in my backyard right now and looking up at the sky, the stars. And if you know about how far away those stars are and how long it takes light to travel, we're seeing a star that probably no longer exists anymore. So we're looking into the past when we look up at the sky at night. You ever thought about that?
Huh, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
So, yeah, that's... You could be looking into the past when you look up.
I've been edumacated now.
So I always thought that was really cool when I learned that.
Yeah, because I've never heard of that before.
So there's this thermodynamics second law, which states that the entropy or disorder of a closed system can only increase over time. So what they're basically saying here is traveling to the past would require a decrease, like unscrambling an egg. So once you scramble an egg, you can't unscramble it. So they're saying that time is continually moving forward. So this is the reason why it would be impossible to go back in time. It's the only fundamental law of physics that gives a time direction, and that's only forward.
You have heard, though, of books and movies all on time travel. It's almost like people want to make time travel possible.
Yeah, we have this fascination with it. And I wonder if that has to do with, like, regret. So this grandfather paradox is a classic paradox where there's a time traveler that goes back in time and prevents their own grandparents from meeting, meaning that they would then never be born, and therefore if they were never born, they couldn't have gone back in time in the first place. creating this contradiction here.
Wouldn't that have made him be erased?
He would never have even had the ability to go back and even do this in the first place.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the butterfly would have been effect, erased. Too.
If you go in and you change one thing, it changes all of future, which could potentially impact your ability or a thought to even consider going back in time in the first place. So it creates a really good premise for a movie or like a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fun stuff for the movies, but not possible in real life.
Gotcha.
So let's take a look at some photos that are popping up all over social media these days.
Oh yeah. Here's the favorite part you've been waiting for, Kathy.
I know. These are fun because it's really cool and you wish that this was real, but I have an explanation for a lot of these.
First off, before we get started, I would like to tell a claim. Since we're talking about popular photos, you've got the claim of Andrew Basiag. I can't pronounce his last name, but anyway, who is he basically? He ended up growing up to be a lawyer and an author, but he claims when he was a kid, he participated in what was known as Project Pegasus. Have you ever heard of that, Kathy?
I don't think so.
Okay. What it was is that Project Pegasus was a secret U.S. government program that used time travel technology. It's based off of the work of Nikola Tesla. Children were used for this project because they were supposedly more adaptable to the stresses of time and travel. So what this boy claims is that he was sent to Gettysburg in November of 1863 to see Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and that he is this boy that's in this infamous photo.
What time frame was he originally from?
He was born in 1961, and he's still alive today. So if you count that up from the years, it's roughly about, he's about 64 years old today.
Okay.
But if you take a look at this infamous picture, because that's what this is all about, you see a black and white photo, and off in the distance, you can see partially Abraham Lincoln, right? He's got a crowd of people around him, so it's not a clear view. And then closer to the camera, you have this little boy, guessing age, I don't know, 8 to 10 or 8 to 12. Yeah. I don't really know. But this Andrew guy, he swore that little boy was him, that he was sent back and he got to witness this. So whether or not you believe that or not, I don't know what I believe. So how would you debunk this photo, Kathy?
One, you can't really see any facial features. We don't have a comparison of a childhood photo of him in the same outfit in modern day. And if he went back in time and came back. Two, we don't really have a way to travel. We don't have a time machine. And I think if somebody invented one, they'd be super rich right now.
Possibly, unless they were trying to keep it underground. So it wouldn't fall
for
into the
reason?
Hands of the
wrong
people.
I mean, I
people.
Know he was claiming that he was part of this CIA Pegasus thing.
Who? And this Andrew guy, right? Yeah.
He also claimed that he went to Mars, too. So I think the guy's a little cuckoo.
Could
I don't
be.
Know. There's stranger things, I guess, people claim.
It could be. And maybe these pictures don't do anything for him to help his cause.
Yeah, there's
but
no way to identify him. It's a blurry photo. And
yeah.
It looks like it's a period photo. This.
It does.
Looks legit, but
it's black and white, and you can see the...
You can see deterioration in it.
Yes, you can.
It's not well focused. Those cameras...
Correct.
...had long exposure, so everything ends up being blurry, but I'm not convinced.
I'm not convinced either, because honestly, this little boy, it looks like he's dressed in the period clothing. And yes, he could have already got him some period clothing before he put on his coat to go to work.
But yeah, he's supposed to blend in, but... I just don't think you can time travel, but what other photos do you have?
Okay, so moving on. And by the way, we will put all of these pictures on our Facebook and Instagram pages for you to view. So this next one, it's a 400-year-old undisturbed
Ming Dynasty
Yep.
tomb.
There you go. It was found to have the stone inside of it, which looks like a modern watch set.
Oh, this has been debunked already. This one was photoshopped.
But really? I could. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And I think the story behind this one is they were saying that it said Swiss on the back, but you can see in the picture it looks like it's all corroded and there's no way you'd be able to see writings on it. And the story also said it was 10:05 a.m. It's an analog watch. There's no way you'd know if it's a.m. and p.m. So the whole story is just...
Wow.
Yeah. I think part of it, they said that they moved something and it dropped. So somebody could have dropped it in there while they were looking.
We found it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole story. And plus, I think somewhere in the internet, they said they've already proven that it has been photoshopped.
Huh. Okay. And that's the thing. You can't really trust photographs anymore.
Oh, because and now with AI, all the fake videos that look so
real.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This next photo is really cool because I've seen this one recently circulate social media and lots of people had thoughts about this one.
Were they falling for it, were they?
There's lots of debate on it. This one, this says this image comes from the Bralorn Pioneer Museum.
Uh-huh.
And it shows the reopening of the South Fork Bridge in Gold Bridge, British Columbia in 1941. However, there's a guy in the picture. He's in the foreground, but he's in the back of a crowd of people. And he appears to be wearing modern clothing and interesting goggles or eyewear.
So yeah, sunglasses.
He also is, if you zoom into the picture, it actually looks just like aviation goggles with some side protection.
I know what you're talking
about.
And
the British Army also had some dust goggles to protect during dust wind, depending on where you're flying in, maybe desert areas and with lots of sand. So they look like sunglasses with a side view. And I've been on eBay, and there's all kinds of antique old 1941 style glasses. But some of the debate online, people were talking about the camera in his hands too, and the clothing he was wearing, and the fact that he's not wearing a fedora hat like all the other gentlemen.
Oh, I didn't even notice the camera in his hand.
Yep, he's got an old camera, and you can look back. There's a Kodak camera from 1941 that looks very much like the one in his hands. So it's a 35 millimeter type camera. We're not talking about digital cameras or iPhones or anything, but I think people weren't really aware of what camera technology looked like back then, but that is appropriate to the period. But he's also not wearing a blazer and a tie and a fedora hat like the other men in the photo.
Yeah, but maybe it was his day off.
When you look at what he's wearing, it looks like a t-shirt, and some people think it's a hoodie, but it's more of a wool sweater type with a fluffy collar area.
Like he's wearing like a cardigan.
Yeah, kind of like a cardigan sweater, but a big fluffy wool one. Yeah. But there's a t-shirt with an M on it. There was an old hockey team from the late 1930s, early 1940s called the Montreal Maroons.
What a name.
Their shirts and their sweaters look exactly like the one he's wearing. Oh. That has been debunked. That is not a modern day t-shirt.
So are you thinking that he was photoshopped in?
No, this is a real photo. But all of the stuff that people say don't fit with the fashion of the people around them makes him look like he's futuristic. These futuristic goggles and a modern camera. But this camera, if you were to look at it close up, you could see the details are from that era. But it's very similar to your typical Nikon or Kodak 35 millimeter camera from modern day.
Wow, okay.
So just smaller lens, and of course the t-shirt and the eyewear was what made people think he didn't quite fit in, and he looked a little too modern for some people, but
right.
That is an authentic photo, and that does appear to be a period-appropriate attire.
Okay. Moving on for our next one, it's a 1938 video of a woman, and they're saying that this could hint at possible time travel. It was shot over 8 decades ago. The video features a normal day for the factory workers in 1938. But for one woman, she catches your eye because in her right hand, she's holding something up to her ear, and they believe that to be a cell phone. And I remember I've seen this picture before.
Right. Actually, I've seen the video. I remember them walking by, and it happens pretty quickly, and her hand goes up. But she's got something in her hand that looks very much like what the woman in front of her has in her hand. Could be a hat, could be a little...
You're right.
A little wallet or a purse, and she just happens to be
up by her ear. She puts it up to the side of her cheek.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. I can see how that could be mistaken for a cell phone, though. Definitely. Good on your debunking, Kathy. All right, so this next photo that we have is a photo that comes from 1943. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word.
Yeah, that's Iceland. I think that's the capital in Iceland. Reykjavik, or I don't know how to say it. Reykjavik.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Icelandic. That's the most difficult language in the world.
Yes. But
they're
anyway,
proud of it, as they should be. It's a very cool language.
Yeah, a man can be seen standing next to deployed U.S. soldiers during World War II. The photo was posted in an Icelandic Facebook group where people debated if he was really holding a cell phone or not.
So yeah. This one, when you zoom in, much like the last one we were looking at, I don't see anything in his hand at all. And plus, he's off in the distance in the photo, so it's really small. You have to zoom way in. This photo is very clear. I doubt the authenticity of this just based on looking at many photos from that time period not being as crystal clear, especially with people moving.
Yeah.
The people walking on the sidewalk, you usually have some kind of blur with these older photos.
Yes.
So I don't know if the photo is authentic to begin with. It's clear when you zoom in that it doesn't appear that there's anything in his hand. Well, now,
I've zoomed in as far as I can go, and it has enhanced the picture, but I wanted to go enhance a little bit more, but I can't.
Yeah, the more you enhance a photo or zoom in, the less quality you get. Because
right.
Now you're dealing with pixels and a digital image of film. So it's the quality is not going to be that great. But he does have his hand. He's leaning up against a window, and he's got a fedora hat and a trench coat on, which many of the men have military-style trench coats.
Right.
His is a lighter one. He looks like a private investigator. And so his hand's up by his ear, and his head's turned like he's watching the crowd. So
right.
He looks suspicious, but he easily could have been scratching his ear. I don't see anything in his hand. But I did look up what kind of radios they had. Were there any kind of portable radios? And in the military, they did have field radios. There are some that look like a really old satellite phone from the 80s, the big
honking
ones.
Oh, yeah, like the big gray ones.
They had some like that in World War II that were even bigger, than if you can imagine. But there were some handheld speakers, so he could have been listening in on some radio broadcast.
Yeah.
If there is anything, but really, you can't see anything in his hand.
Right.
It's the same color, and you can see the palm next to his fingers. So I don't think that one's anything either. The next one is the Charlie Chaplin one. I don't know if any of our listeners are aware of this one. We're getting to some that I don't think are circulating the internet as much as the ones we just talked about. But there's supposedly an extra in the background that looks like he's also on the phone. So all of these pictures, people get suspicious because we're imprinting our own impression of what we think is normal body movement behavior for us today. Everybody's always on a phone. Everybody's looking down at a phone.
For sure.
So you got all these pictures of people with their hand by their face. And we learned during COVID that apparently we touch our face 7 times an hour. So this could be one of the 7 times in an hour that somebody actually touches their face.
And
so
this one
it's
been cropped from the original picture.
And it's zoomed in, so it's not high quality.
The original one, you can see the lady full length. So this one has definitely been cropped. When we look at the next one, this is a photo from 1905. It shows a man with a mohawk. Of course, the mohawk is modern, and it's a modern type hairstyle.
Well,
is what I'm...
So in 1905, if anybody had a mohawk, they likely would have been of Native descent. Okay. So in 1905, mohawks existed. They weren't part of the style. But mohawk was thought to be something of Native culture.
Yeah.
This actually doesn't look like a mohawk because his hair is not standing up. It's actually laying flat on his head. But a very short side haircut was a common thing to do. And it was still common today, that buzz cut, that fade. So this just looks like a really bad haircut to me. But what's even more suspicious, and he's a worker too. He looks like he's got the suspenders. And so he's more blue collar, whereas there's other men in the photo that are dressed with a jacket and a hat and a bow tie. And there's movement in some parts of the photo, so there's some blur to it, but the rest of it is crisp. This guy's in the background, and he's in perfect focus. So I'm suspicious of this photo for that reason. But what he's wearing is very period clothing.
It is,
I don't think this is a time traveler. If this is an authentic photograph, it's a very clear one for 1905.
Right.
This is around some of the time where the very first photographs were ever taken. So I highly doubt that this time period is correct if this is a real photo. But if this time period is supposedly correct, then I think this is not a real photo. Because most of our 1905 photos are not this clear. So it's a cool photo, but there's lots of things that make me scratch my head on it.
If you scroll to the next one, it shows a photo of British factory workers on the beach. This is in 1943, and there's this man that you can see. He's in this brown suit, and he appears to be, again, here's the cell phone thing.
That same body position.
Yeah. He begins checking his cell phone, and either way, he was not dressed for the beach. So how do we know he wasn't, like, photoshopped
in? There's other people who have a jacket and a fedora on that are sitting in the beach. People were covered up. Women were in full outfits on the beach as well. But this picture, now, it's not like he has the cell phone up to his ear like in other photos that people claim. This one, he's looking down like he's in the position like he's texting on a cell phone. But people in this time period also had pocket watches, and they usually kept them in their breast pocket so it would be held close up to his chest area. So it looks like he's checking the timepiece in his
body. It does. When I blow up on that picture, that's exactly what it looks like. So I have to say.
So if you were time traveling and you're in a busy, crowded beach and you're trying to hide the fact that you're time traveling and you're checking your text messages, one, you wouldn't get any messages because there's no cell towers.
Right.
And two, you wouldn't be out there in front of all these people trying to be hiding the fact that you come from the future, doing your communications in private.
So, well, unless you were on some sort of secret mission by the government where you couldn't say anything.
Well, see, but that's the thing. Why do you have all these witnesses? You'd be hiding this, right? You wouldn't be out on a beach checking your messages where you've got people all around you.
That is true. This next video.
Debunked.
Moving right along. It's a picture of this boy, and you can see the woods and stuff to his right. But he's running, and this again comes from a video, which I think distorts the photos anyway. But some people believe that...
Yeah, it's very pixelated, very grainy.
Yes. Some people believe that it shows him entering some sort of traveling portal. I know we've already talked about portals and vortex, but if that's true, I'm like, give the kid some candy and send him back.
This is a classic pareidolia. Right here, because you can look at the bent leg, the right leg that's bent in the still image, and it lines up perfectly with a downed tree in the background. So I think that's part of the tree, and your eyes are playing tricks on you with the pixelation, and it's a black and white photo as well. So the colors, you can't differentiate between the person and the tree behind them, and it's all one image. And there's branches on the ground, and all of it lines up. So this is classic pareidolia. Your brain is trying to make sense of image.
Yeah.
That is not a very clear image.
Wow. No, it's not, but it's interesting, none to say the least.
And you know me, I love to debunk photos, so I bring them in.
I think it was you that I heard say, no matter what photograph there is, maybe paranormal, I have a pretty good explanation as to why it's not, or I can find that explanation anyway.
Well, and this time I'm not looking at ghosts, I'm looking at time travelers, so it's even more fun to debunk these. It's like solving a mystery. It's always fun and interesting.
Yeah, but if time travel was truly possible, I think that it would be it's like a cool thing, right? Man, think about how many people would actually go back and fix their mistakes to prevent the future from going wrong. But then they always say that never works anyway. Like you'd mess something up.
Yeah.
The whole theory overall is very interesting.
Yeah. And fun topic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was a very fun topic.
So if you think you have experienced your own time slip, write it in and tell us your story, and we'll feature it on a future episode. And you can share your own para-stories, topic suggestions, and comments to psychicandskeptic, all spelled out, at gmail.com.
So you can find us wherever you enjoy your podcasts, and thank you for listening.
Because you know, the paranormal is the normal.
Not yet understood.